The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please have a seat. As you know, I just arrived back Friday morning from spending 2 weeks in Dublin, Ireland, with my daughters Judith and Louisa. It is a beautiful city. It's very old, and it's truly enormous compared to anything that I'm used to. All our little villages around here. And to me, one of the most wonderful things about Dublin was how old everything was. We attended a compline service at Christ Church Cathedral, which was built 1,000 years ago. And so many of the buildings and the bridges and the little winding cobblestone streets are hundreds and hundreds of years old. They're just beautifully constructed and dripping with history. It's a really wonderful place. But like every big city, one of the less wonderful things about Dublin is that there are a lot of homeless people there. Every time my daughters and I would go out, we'd see people begging in the streets. There were young people and people that were quite old, men and women. And very rarely would they approach you or ask you directly for anything, but they would sit kind of hunched up along the sidewalk or by the side of one of the bridges. There are all these bridges that go across the River Liffey that cuts through Dublin. And they would sit there sometimes with a blanket or a sleeping bag across their knees because it was always chilly and it was almost always windy and it was frequently drizzling, just holding a paper cup and hoping that somebody who was walking by would drop in a few coins as they passed. It was really heartbreaking. And I don't know which was more heartbreaking, the girls and boys who were just barely adults and just seemed to have no future, or the elderly who looked so alone with nobody to care for them in their old age. And one of the things that I noticed about all of these homeless people is that they almost always kept their eyes down, lowered. They would glance up quickly to say bless you or happy new year if you gave them a little bit of change. And it was almost as if they were afraid of being noticed or as if they didn't expect people to see them as real human beings. Because the homeless in Dublin and in New York City and every place else tend to become invisible. People just walk on by them, they're on their way to work, they're on their way to the market, and maybe occasionally they give them some money if they have spare change in their pocket, but the vast majority of people are in a hurry. And that homeless man or woman crouching by the roadside just becomes something so commonplace that a lot of people barely even see them anymore. And I was thinking about all these people when I read the gospel story this week about Nathanael, who was a man whose life was transformed forever by finding out that Jesus saw him. Because not being noticed, not being seen for who you are as a valuable human being, that's not just a problem for the poor. Everybody, whether we are rich, whether we are poor, needs to be seen, needs to be noticed, needs to be known. From what John tells us about Nathanael, he was a little skeptical about this Jesus person that Philip was so excited about. Surely anybody from Nazareth couldn't be a great prophet. And he seems to have a pretty healthy opinion of himself when Jesus greets him by saying, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit." He's not shocked, he's not embarrassed, he doesn't say, "Aw, shucks." He just asks Jesus, "How do you know me?" But then, when Jesus tells Nathanael that he saw him under the fig tree, Nathanael's completely undone. All his skepticism is swept away. All his self-righteousness kind of falls by the wayside. All his defenses come tumbling down. And all he can say is, "Truly, you are the Son of God. You are the King." Sort of frustratingly, John lets us remain in the dark about what Jesus saw Nathanael doing under the fig tree. It kind of makes you curious to read it, to know what Jesus saw, but that's none of our business. C.S. Lewis would have said, that's not our story. But what John wants us to learn in this story about Nathanael is that in Jesus, we find out that our God is a God who sees us. Before we call out to him, before we believe in him, before we find him, he's already found us. He's already seen us. He already knows us. And that is something that every person has a desperate need to know. It is a fact that when our Lord Jesus Christ walked on this earth, homeless beggars were some of his favorite people to pay attention to. The people told the blind beggars to pipe down and stop bothering the master. They told lepers to keep their distance. They told all those grubby little kids to be seen and not heard. But they never stopped Jesus from seeing them, every one of them. And that is such good news for us, because the truth is that we're all homeless beggars, whether we know it or not. Just think about it today. No matter how rich you are or secure you are, no matter how much education you have, no matter how skillful or famous or powerful or hardworking, no matter how well insured you are, is there anything on this earth that you have that time or circumstances or misfortune or death won't snatch away from you? Can't snatch away from you at any moment in the blink of an eye? No matter what we tell ourselves, in ourselves we have nothing. We have nothing whatsoever that we can hold on to. We have nothing that we can keep for ourselves, in ourselves. It doesn't sound like good news until we remember that we worship a God who has his eye on all the homeless beggars, on the homeless poor of Dublin, on the ragged beggars of Palestine, on the Syrian refugees in the Middle East, on the poor immigrants in our own cities, on Nathanael, on you, on me. He has searched us out and known us. He knows our rising up and our sitting down. He's acquainted with all our ways. And before we even cry out to him, he's already seen us. He's already filled our cups to overflowing with his love, which is the one thing that cannot be taken away from us. The psalm that we read with Romy this morning, Psalm 139, that was written by King David. And David, of all people, had reason to know that God is a God who sees us. God saw into David's heart when he was just a boy, and he chose him out of all his much more impressive brothers to be high king over his beloved people. God saw David at his best, and he saw David as his absolute worst when he was a murderer, when he was a schemer, when he was an adulterer. And David understood the glory and the comfort of being held in the gaze of his Lord no matter what. He knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that whether you're a homeless kid or an Alzheimer's patient or a single mom or a king, you're not invisible to God. And he wrote the psalm, Psalm 139, with knowledge and certainty. He wrote, "Lord, you have searched me out and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You trace my journeys and my resting places and are acquainted with all my ways. Indeed, there's not a word on my lips, but you, O Lord, know it all together. You press upon me behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I cannot attain to it. For you yourself created my inmost parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will thank you because I'm marvelously made. Your works are wonderful, and I know it well." Amen.